Let's begin with the data for COVID-19 cases in El Paso. You've had some trouble keeping track of it all, and now we've got a little bit more light to shed on why that is.
Yeah, so the total picture isn't clear yet, but the state of Texas recently discovered tens of thousands of both tests and cases that it previously not reported from, mostly from July and early August. It appears to be a coding issue and a computer issue that they had. So the impact on El Paso that we know of as of now is the state had underreported about 1,000 COVID-19 cases for El Paso from late June through early August. And, you know, if we can't rely on the data, it becomes really difficult to understand what steps to take, you know, such as opening schools. And so Texas has had a number of bobbles with data over the last 4 or 5 months. Hopefully this is the last of it, but it's a real serious concern.
Getting back to school during a pandemic is hard for anyone, even if you have all of the tools that you need. But for some students in more rural areas, they don't have some of the very basic tools. What can you tell us about those schools in the El Paso area that are struggling with that?
Yeah, so we focused on rural border school districts in Texas, but I think this could hold true for the rural districts along the border in New Mexico as well. The digital divide is an issue that we've all heard a lot about, and it's really playing out in these rural areas because they don't have the broadband access that we have in large cities. You know, the good news is that these rural districts have worked really, really hard to bridge those gaps. The two districts we looked at, Fort Hancock and Tornillo, provided mobile hotspots for students. They provided laptops and tablets to try to bridge that gap. And that had some success with that, but then sometimes reality of life on the border kind of intercedes, and many kids who live in rural areas along the border really live on both sides of the border. They have families on both sides. So what we found is a lot of kids who are in U.S. schools have gone back with grandparents or somebody like that in northern Mexico, and guess what? The hotspots aren't working there. One of the teachers said something really interesting, that, you know, their students have never had anything easy. They're used to having to work through things and be resilient. And so they expect their students to succeed in the changing environment with COVID-19 because they're used to adapting. Mm.
COVID-19, obviously a problem at jails, and a couple of attorneys wrote an op-ed asking for some more protections from COVID-19. What can you tell us about that?
So we published the op-ed from two members of the El Paso County Public Defender's Office, Octavio Dominguez and Brian Livingston. And the op-ed, even though it kind of complimented the judges and the sheriff's office for doing a lot of things to prevent the spread, really struck a nerve with a lot of the judges and the sheriffs. And the blowback into the public defender's office was pretty tough, I think. So the chief public defender, or interim chief public defender, William Cox, decided to write a letter to what's called the Justice Leadership Coordinating Committee here to kind of, you know, not apologize for it, but to explain what had happened. But in the letter, he basically said that the fact that these guys wrote the op-ed is indication that his office needs a personal conduct policy. And he shared the letter with his own staff, who just blew up, and understandably so. It sure sounded in the letter like he was sanctioning these two attorneys on his staff for exercising their First Amendment rights and for advocating for the needs of their clients. And, you know, some changes are underway. The county now acknowledges that Mr. Cox handled the response to this really badly. The county has now hired a new chief public defender who will start in September, meaning they bypassed the current interim chief to do that. And then the really sad note, I think, is that 3 weeks after these lawyers wrote the op-ed, one of their clients died in the jail of COVID-19. You know, things are getting a little bit better in the jail. The case counts are coming down. But just as with every element in society, COVID-19 in jails continues to be a serious issue. People in these congregate facilities are really at most risk of the spread of COVID-19.
Thank you, Bob. Find these stories at elpasomatters.org. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Casey. I appreciate it.